Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Cool. Welcome back, everybody. Doug, it's really great to have you on. I know we were chatting a little bit just before we started our recording on the call here. So guest today is Doug Duguay. Doug, I know we were just kind of speaking about, you know, some of your current work as an advisor, and I know you're starting to get into a little bit about, you know, some of your past ventures and some of the business brands that you led in the past. So yeah, let's just kind of start there. Give me a little background on some of these other ventures that you're working in. I know you were mentioning, you know, back in 2000 was kind of your first. So yeah, let's just pick it up from there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've started e-commerce ventures as far back as 1999, which, and actually I was interviewed by the AP about eBay in 99. And then I would start websites and stuff like that. You know, my main thing has been apparel and cycling clothing. And my biggest to date business was started in 2002, selling bicycle clothing, became a multi-million dollar business. And as I was saying to you earlier, search engine optimization was really important back then. You know, Now, actually, this was before Google even had AdWords. So by being a trusted source, by getting links from other websites, you could actually get to the top of Google rankings. And now, you know, as we said, everything gets pushed down so far. Google wants to keep you on their page unless you're paying for advertising for, you know, their revenue. So right now, I heard a statistic recently that 70% of all Google searches stay on the page, whereas in the past, you know, people were directed to other page. So, you know, SEO and all the old traditional marketing has kind of gone out the window in a lot of ways. And now you have to be very creative in order to get to the top of, or, you know, to get new customers and to excel in e-commerce.
What do you think that is? I mean, imagine people stay on the page. You think people are like just generally Googling, looking for just like really baseline information from like what actually comes up in the search results and not even clicking into something?
Yeah, well, they create these knowledge panels at the top, right? And that's designed.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'll notice, I don't know if everyone has the same experience that I do in Google, but they said, you know, I was offered something about AI generating results. And so there's a massive knowledge panel at the top about, say, you're looking at flowers, you know, you'll have about two paragraphs about flowers, and then maybe there's a YouTube link
and all the questions too, like the common questions related to that search that go down. Yeah, no, that's so true. Now that you say that, I'm like I definitely do that too. That's like pretty much where the lane that I stay in, unless I'm like looking for a website specifically. When I'm just looking for info, it usually does a pretty good job of just having it on the face of the search page. Yeah,
that's intentional. They want to keep you there, and they want
to. That's so fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they want you to, obviously, Google is pretty amazing. You know, the fact that they're both an advertiser and a news, they essentially all the results. I mean, if you think about it, I work with a massage therapist down here in Mexico, and there's so many different opportunities where they can make money, you know, whether it's, you know, 50 cents here, you know, $1.50 there. Google has got a pretty amazing thing. And I'm sure, you know, they have a pretty big lobbying arm. So, they make sure that they're just ahead of being in trouble for competitive behavior. So antitrust.
Right. No, it is. It's so fascinating. And it's one of the biggest, like, you know, pain points that I obviously hear from, you know, a lot of CPG brands that come on the podcast is just like, you know, trying to figure out how to optimize for, you know, Google advertising or just your SEO or honestly on any platform. I mean, it's constantly changing. And I think that's probably intentional too. It almost seems like, you know, to keep those things, you know, a little bit, you know, out of touch, or to make it like not super easy to keep people on the Google page and not even click through. So that's a really fascinating take on that. And it's just like in my own anecdotal evidence, the thing about my own experience there is so true. I've never had anybody bring that up. It's really, that's really fascinating.
They actually used to publish what people would search for, you know, you would actually be able to see actual numbers. And probably 10, 12 or more years ago, they actually cut that out. And they said it was because of privacy reasons. So
like, what would they show? Like, they would show like the most searched things any given day or time, or like
yeah,
the most searched
so my,
terms. Yeah.
My big keyword was cycling jersey. So as for instance, you know, during any given month, you know, random number, 10,000 people would search for it. And you could actually see that data. So you could gear your campaigns towards that. But they eliminated that because of privacy or
That's
they wanted to make
so,
more money.
Yeah, right. And then I know you mentioned that you obviously do work in this space. You know, you're running ads as a consultant for, you know, different companies now. And how do you kind of grapple with that? I mean, knowing that this is out there, knowing that this is happening, I mean, what kind of steps do you take to try to like circumvent, you know, these things that go on the Google page to still make it effective?
Well, so my philosophy, so I 100% gear my ads. And I, of course, I play in the realm of consumer products. So I play in the ad of in the playground of dominating the space, dominating the top search results. So as a, for instance, a company I was working with last year, especially during the fourth quarter, you know, and the Google shopping results at the top of the page, I'd have three or four different listings shown up. So, you know, so I would create a Performance Max campaign. And then I would also, on top of that, have a bunch of Google shopping campaigns that would compete with my keywords themselves. Performance Max tended to be the biggest converter. You know, at the time I was, you know, I was getting about a 4 or 5 to 1, you know, for every dollar spent, I would get 5 back. So
That's really high. I mean, as I'm sure you know, and like across the industry, that's pretty impressive. So
I was talking to someone yesterday that they said they spent $3,000 in Google AdWords and got $100,000 in return.
Wow.
Yeah.
That needs to be studied and published to be replicated. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she was like hesitant to even increase that number. And I was like, you know, even if you triple it, you still, you know, and you get no additional sales, you know, you still have 100,000, you're still getting a good return on investment. So I was just blown away by that one.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. And how did you kind of have the, like, obviously you're doing work for, you know, as a consultant for maybe some different businesses now, but when you had your own businesses in the past, how did you kind of utilize some of these strategies in your own businesses? And it was, when was the last, and I'm curious to hear your last venture too, what that kind of exit process was like, because most of the people that come on, obviously, you know, ongoing venture projects are still working in. And I think it's a really interesting side of the business as like an end goal for any like entrepreneurs and maybe listening, which most of our listeners are, you know, I don't get to hear a lot of like from that perspective of exiting businesses. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that too.
Yeah, they're not always the glamorous stories. One more recent one in 2020 during COVID, I was working with a manufacturer who kind of inherited, they had purchased a business and they had inherited a ton of B stock. And so with that particular venture, you know, I would buy lots of B stock. It's on my LinkedIn profile, but, and so that was, like I said, during COVID. So obviously we had all of our challenges with COVID. And in that particular one, I started in February of 2020, which is right before COVID. By the end of December, I had scaled it to almost 400,000 in that particular one. And basically I did a good job and I ran out of stock in that particular instance, B stock. And that actually, I was able to bank a bunch of money from that and live on that for a number of years from that experience. So, you know, and here and there I get consulting things. More realistically, I'm looking for, you know, I want to, you know, have a business where I can take it from, you know, $1 million, 2 million, million, five, you know, to 5 million, to scale that to 10 to $20 million. You know, I think that's an exciting challenge. And now, of course, affiliate marketing, you know, finding influencers, you know, there's so many exciting things too that are kind of off page right now, you know, non-Google thing. And then, of course, the AdWords piece. AdWords can add a significant increase in sales. I do like AdWords, of course, specifically Google Shopping, because Google Shopping, you know, that's pre-qualified traffic. You have a picture of the goods and you have the price. So those people know going in how much it costs. You know, basically when you get them on the page, you just have to convince them that you're a reliable business and that you actually will follow through on your products.
Right. And it's interesting because like whenever you put in a search term that is like, if it's a product, the second or third recommended search term is probably going to be whatever product you just typed and then the words for sale, which takes you right to the shopping tab on Google already just for putting that in. Yeah, that's really interesting. And yeah, and I mean, obviously like your traditional channels of like doing Google and SEO, I mean, it's always going to be necessary. And I think coupled with some of the, I mean, they're not really newer anymore, but I mean, you know, just like continuously growing social media channels and influencer partnerships and things like that. I mean, coupled with those, I mean, obviously is, you know, the omni-channel marketing approach nowadays, especially if you're marketing to, you know, younger generation, which a lot of, I think, newer like CPG brands are, you know, trying to do things sustainably and, you know, healthier and having, you know, good labels on their stuff is like, that's something that I think is, you know, something that definitely appeals to the younger Gen Z and younger millennial generation. And that I think that's where most of their eye traffic and, you know, interest traffic is on social media. And whether or not they come right from social media to your website, even though there's a link, is, you know, here nor there. But somebody may remember your product, look it up, and then that's where all that stuff kicks in. So yeah, no, it's super interesting. Yeah.
The statistic, of course, that I've heard is, you know, it takes 7 touches to get someone to buy, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's where your omni-channel strategy is really important, of course.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, people obviously exist across channels too. I mean, almost everybody has a Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. And then Snapchat is another fun one. That is not something that I've ever done any work in as far as advertising, or that's entirely foreign to me. But that's another one I know is a huge, you know, advertising presence in the past few years too. Have you done anything with that ever on Snapchat?
Is Snapchat still relevant?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Is it? I haven't heard as much lately about, you know, I think everyone's crazy about TikTok nowadays. So
yeah, I think they're making a ton of ad revenue. I mean, I open my Snapchat. I mean, there's a whole feed like, and almost any other social media these days. I mean, it obviously has the same functionality of like, you know, sharing with your friends and like, you know, your messages and stuff. But if you go to like the explore page, it's like the explore page anywhere else. It's like, you know, there's ads on every two like short clip videos you watch. There's a 60-second ad that you can't skip. And yeah, but it's really interesting. I don't see a lot of real products on there. It's mostly like service based or like follower campaigns for other platforms, which is really interesting on Snapchat too. But I would say it's definitely relevant. I think, yeah. And they're independent, which is interesting too. They're on one of the last ones I have not gotten purchased by like Meta or ByteDance yet. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, Meta probably hasn't seen the value of it. Maybe.
I think they've made them offer. Snapchat has like made this big like PR campaign about like, we're never going to sell, like these other companies like do not like value your privacy, so they say. And that's always been their biggest thing is with like, you know, not even data privacy, but just user privacy within the platform. You know, they have all these protections with like, you know, if you screenshot something, somebody sends you, there's basically, unless you're taking a picture of your phone with another phone, there's really no way to circumvent it. You can always see when somebody opens your stuff. Yeah, you can set it so that the messages delete right after you close the conversation. Yeah, so I think they just make a big like PR messaging about those types of things and feel like if they sold that wouldn't be upheld, or at least is like their messaging to everybody. So yeah, Snapchat's been a really interesting one, I think, in the past few years, and it's changed a lot in the past couple of years too. There's definitely been a huge ad presence build up in the past, probably even less than 2 years, I would say. So it's an interesting one, not something I've really dabbled in ever, but yeah, they're definitely interesting as like an alternative to more traditional social media channels for sure.
Have you set up people with TikTok shops yet? I know
I've not set up anybody on TikTok shop. It's definitely something that a lot of the people that we work with already have set up themselves and have had some success. So the general consensus that I get from that is like, it's like everything on TikTok. You go viral, you get 100 million views on a video, and then like, you know, you're just gone basically. I mean, unless you, you know, some people get lucky and they continue to have, you know, like virality on there, but most of what happens on TikTok is very fleeting, whether it's on the shop or whether it's your actual content posting is, it can be very fleeting. So I think there's still a lot of volatility there, but I mean, you know, I've definitely seen people scale extremely fast through TikTok shop. So there's definitely a lot of value there for sure.
It's so new that there's probably not a lot of competition there too.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do great promos. Like I think TikTok is themselves, you know, giving 20% off for anybody who makes their first purchase on TikTok shop. And it has nothing to do with the products. They're just subsidizing that completely.
Just throwing money into,
Yeah. That's been an interesting one. Have you at all with TikTok shop?
A person that I work with, she does, she's got actually some really cool stuff. She's making these tights for women that are really outstanding looking stuff. And we explored the possibility of a TikTok shop, but she has too long of a lead time for her products. So,
But
I attended a webinar, of course, and it was kind of watching so slow. It was like watching paint dry. But, you know, for someone who set up, I've set up on Amazon, I've set up on, you know, eBay, obviously, early on. I've set up on so many different platforms that, you know, if you have half a brain, you can figure it out pretty quickly.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the value on TikTok, at least, is also in that if you work with an influencer or an affiliate partner on TikTok, and because they have TikTok shop, then not having to leave the app to a browser page is huge to be able to do that. I think is like one of the biggest things. It just all connects really smoothly within the app itself. If somebody has like a post link, it's just super smooth. So I'm not surprised the success that they've had there for that reason. I think that's probably one of the biggest drivers, more than anything else.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Facebook, I don't think Facebook's done a great job of getting people to buy on their website, but certainly the company I was managing last year, we had a fair share of revenue from Facebook, but not a ton.
Yeah. And I think the Facebook Marketplace name has also just, I think, become synonymous with more of like local buying and selling than it has real marketplace for original products like TikTok Shop has. I think they just existed that way for too long now. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe went for like a, I don't know, Meta Market or something. I don't know. It's like something like that. Yeah. Something like that. Just to have it different. And then like Facebook Marketplace, quote unquote. Cause I mean, when I think of that, what do you think of? You think of you buying a couch from some guy like, you know, a mile away, you know what I mean? There's something.
Yeah,
I've been
looking for a motorcycle.
Where do you go, right? You go to Facebook Marketplace, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's, but I want to, you know, I want to buy something fairly inexpensive and I don't want to buy a new one. And that's why I shop at Facebook. Sometimes I, you know, like to see what's out there, but you generally don't see anything new at all.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I mean, if it does exist, I certainly haven't seen it. So yeah, it's really fascinating. It really is. It's a really fun space to work in. There's a lot changing on a like almost daily to weekly to quarterly basis now. And it's fun to stay up with those things because, you know, if you do, it's almost like an immediate advantage because most people are not going to be that on top of it. So I think it presents a lot of opportunities to differentiate yourself as a marketer to just like just be on top of, you know, the algorithmic changes and all the things that go on socials and even on Google and all those different platforms. So it's definitely fun. It keeps it fresh. And yeah.
One of the things that, you know, as a digital marketer, you have to be is just creative. I mean, you can't get away with doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, there's no silver bullets. That's the thing is that's what I like to tell everybody that I work with is, you know, it takes upfront research. It takes, you know, just being diligent about those things on the front end, because, you know, especially as a growing brand, like, you know, you don't have the money to just be throwing it at the wall to see what works. I mean, you have to do continuous testing in perpetuity. I mean, not even just to find something and then throw a bunch of money at that. That might work for a little while. But in going forward with that, I mean, you have to test basically until the end of time, until you either sell your business or if, like, the unfortunate scenario is maybe your business fails. But I mean, until that time, you have to continue to test always, always, always. And then, you know, I'm always surprised too how prevalent still just like straight up easy email marketing is still super effective these days with all these very complicated advents on other platforms. Email marketing is, I think, as effective as ever, which has been really fascinating too.
In the past, whenever I needed, you know, cash flow in the business, it's like send an email because it's it really is your cheapest form of marketing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get a little impatient with, you know, there's one, I also into bicycles, and there's one company that is in the cycling space, and they send out emails every day about things that are on sale. And after a while, I just tune it out because, you know, I mean, you got to keep that content fresh, and because otherwise it's just like, oh, I'm ignoring that. Oh, they want to sell me something again? Like,
You almost make a habit of like not noticing when that name pops up on your and like your Gmail notification, which is really interesting. But yeah. I think there's definitely a lot of opportunities, I think, in like doing email marketing. One, because it's so cheap, and like, you know, if you're not overdoing it and, you know, actually taking the time to take a look at your data and say, hey, like, this is, you know, I can see like all the people that, like, you know, got on the email list from this specific advertisement or this specific like social media campaign. Like, this is what we know about, you know, what their lifestyle is and why they were maybe drawn to our brand and maybe even why they bought from us. So, you know, to be able to do that, like, you know, very different messaging, like on an automated basis, that's like specific to each individual person or even groups of people, can be still be really effective. That's a super fun way to market too, is just making up those, like, you know, those email campaigns specific to people and what you can know about them from, you know, where their traffic came from, that they'll converted to a sale or converted to, you know, signing up for your newsletter or whatever the case might be.
What do you think about pop-ups on websites?
Oh my God. I mean, I've been averse to that since I was like trained. It's like every pop-up in the world has a virus. You know what I mean? And like the ones on the web, the one on e-commerce sites that have like the, you know, like spin the wheel type of things. Like I don't mind that, you know, that's okay. Cause I know that's safe and usually like in there, but even still, I mean, you know, my mind, since I was like a little kid, I was like learning like in the computer lab in like elementary school, they're like, if you see a pop-up, don't click it. Like, the computer's going to explode. Like, so I'm definitely super averse to that in a general sense, but it's funny you say that because I actually do like the pop-ups with like the wheel of like the, you know, buy one, get one, or the 20% off. It's kind of fun. Yeah. I don't mind.
But it's hard to say if that actually converts though. Right. So the reason I ask is one of the companies I work for, you know, we would get thousands of visitors in a given month. Right. And I want to say that in any given month, in every 30-day period, we'd get like 9 signups for the list, right? You know, obviously, and then how many, you know, do you have 2 different email addresses, right? Do you have a spam one and do you have, you know, so I feel like it's such a disruption. It's almost like, I hate to give a crass example, but it's almost asking like, hey, do you want to sleep with me right away? You know, like, you don't know my
It's asking for a lot of commitment up front. It definitely is. That's definitely true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I don't like is, and what I saw something on an e-commerce site the other day that I actually quite liked. It was, you know, you always get the general, you know, the most common pop-up you see on websites. It's like, you know, sign up for 10% off of their email. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever, sure. Because I like the brand. I was like, you know, well, whatever. Yeah, well, I'll do it. And then the next one was like, get 25% off if you sign up for text. And I was like, oh, it's like, usually it's like, oh, put in your email for this and then like confirm your discount with the phone. I'm like, man, close the browser. I'm done. Like, you asked me for one step. Now you're asking for 2 for the same thing. But that one actually kind of caught me, because I was like, you know, the 10% is like, oh, 10% is nice. And then like, you know, 25%, I think that's a good discount for, like, I already saw the price on the Google page, like we already talked about. And then when I clicked into the website, I got that. I was like, all right. Like, then I actually went in and bought something from that. I was like, that was actually, you know, I'm usually pretty averse to those types, the wheels, you know. It's like, I don't know, it gets me, you know. I don't know, it just like appeals to me for something. But those usually seem a little fishy to me, you know. Like,
text marketing has like a massive open right now. I don't know if you've seen numbers on it though. Is
what is it, sorry, like
text marketing, SMS
oh
marketing.
Yeah, huge.
It's just it blows, you know. People ignore email, but they get that hit of dopamine when they get the text. And
I feel like people are a little obsessive compulsive about being iMessage inbox zero. People could care less about their email inbox being whatever. I mean, I have, I think, 50,000 unread emails in my spam email inbox, you know, but I like to keep my iMessage inbox clean, because that's just the way I've always done it. I think people have more of a habit of doing that, which obviously leads to better open rates. So
yeah, that's a good, yeah, that's true.
But hey, Doug, I just want to say thank you again for coming on, man. I really enjoyed this conversation. You know, I don't get to have conversations with other marketers too often, but it's a really fun perspective to have on the podcast that I don't get to do that often. So I really appreciate your insights and your time in the conversation. Yeah, it's been fun. So, and I wish you the best of luck, man. I know you mentioned you're off looking for kind of new opportunities out there right now. So I just want to wish you the best of luck and just keep going, brother.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks. Great talking to you, man.
You too, Doug. Appreciate your time, man. Thanks, everybody.
Right. Peace.